Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. I want to continue our study through 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. 1 John chapter 5. And this evening I want to be looking at verses 4 and 5 of chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's just go up to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just be with us this evening. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom as we look at your word. May your spirit teach us the things we need to learn and help us to understand the spiritual battle that we are in, but that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and in you we can have victory. Lord, now we pray that you just speak to us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This last week we received the monthly letter from Dr. Henry Lifsey, and it was really an enlightening letter, and I wanted to use some of the bullet points that he gave in my message this evening, because he was speaking about what's happening in our country in relation to Scripture, and to try and understand a little bit. But also, as Christians, we should have hope, and we shouldn't be filled with despair. But as you look at what's happening in the world, he really said at the heart of it, it's a spiritual battle. And this is what John is talking about in the book of John as he's writing to the church. Remember, he's been going through in his letter, he's sharing with the fact that there's a spirit of the Antichrist and that it's already in the world at the time that John wrote the letter. It was manifesting itself more and more in the church at that time, and that, this was the first century. John wrote this letter probably around, between 80 and 90 A.D., about 60 years after Jesus had been crucified on Calvary and died and was risen again from the dead. But already at that time, he knew that there were false teachers coming into the church. Their whole purpose was to usurp Christ's authority and to replace him with a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different power, and really was motivated and driven by a different spirit, and that would be the spirit of the world. We know that the spirit of the Antichrist is going to grow greater. John tells us that. And it would manifest itself in many ways. And in chapter 4, he talked about the fact that you and I are to be able to discern spirits. Not in our own power, but because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And we're to seek God's wisdom through power of prayer. And we should have a mature understanding and a discerning heart that's driven by the Spirit of God. Because we are His and we know the truth from error. And so we should be able to see the spirits that are motivating people to follow really the spirit of the Antichrist. And then he also tells that in the last days there's going to come the Antichrist. And in the book of Revelation he reveals that. Now this evening I just wanted, as Dr. Lifsey wrote in his letter, he's talking about what is happening in our world today. And we shouldn't be surprised. Because what's happening is a great spiritual battle. It's going on, and really at the heart of it is the hearts and souls of the people that live in our country and around the world. Are we going to believe in Jesus, or are we going to believe in a different God? Are we going to follow Christ? Are we going to yield our lives to Him and trust in Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a Redeemer of the world? Or are we going to seek a different God, a different way, and a different power? To begin with, I want to begin where Dr. Lifsey begins, and he goes back to the book of Daniel to help us understand what's happening in our world today. God gives us something in Daniel that he doesn't give us in many other places. He alludes to it, but he doesn't give us in the depth of insight as he does in the book of Daniel. In Daniel, it's been about, I said 6 or 8 weeks ago, I prayed a little, or preached a little bit and used part of Daniel's prayer in my message. Daniel was praying because at this time in Daniel's life, the nation of Israel had been in the kingdom of Babylon as captives for 70 years. And Daniel, who loved the Lord, who read the scriptures, who prayed, had read in Jeremiah's prophecy that the Lord would bring Israel back into the land at the end of the 70th year. And he would give them the opportunity to go back and inhabit the land once again. But they hadn't done it. And Daniel began to pray that this would happen. And we see in chapter 9 that the Lord hears his prayer, and the Lord sends an angel to speak to Daniel and to reveal to him that that this is true. And we see that in verse 13 it says, "As is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth." And Daniel understood the difference between sin and truth. He understood that God was truth, and that when we rebel or sin against him, we're walking in rebellion and iniquity, and we're walking in the error and the evil of the world. Verse 14, "Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice." And then we see that in Daniel chapter 10, we see that the angel appears to Daniel again, and Daniel's been praying, asking for understanding and wisdom, as God has revealed that some of the things in chapter 9 of events that are going to occur in the history of Israel, and things that are going to occur as various kingdoms overtake Israel, and things that will happen in the last days. And Daniel's praying for additional strength and understanding. And if you would turn with me to Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. "Then said he unto me," and this is the angel speaking unto Daniel, and he says the following, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou hast set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." And so we see that the angel had come to answer Daniel's prayer, to hear and to share with him what God's message was for him, but he'd been held up, and it's referred to, he was held up by the prince of Persia. Now, to understand who the prince of Persia is, Persia today is Iran. It's modern day Iran. And at that time, Persia was the Medo-Persian Empire. And Daniel had been taken into the Medo-Persian Empire when the Babylonian Empire had been overrun and conquered by the Medes and the Persians. But who is the prince of Persia? Well, in order to understand a little bit there, Paul gives us insight if you go to Ephesians chapter 6. And in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells us the people that who we wrestle against and who is the ones that we have problems with. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Now, when Daniel was praying, God sent an angel. An angel's not flesh and blood. And that angel was wrestling with the prince of Persia. The prince of Persia wasn't a man. He wasn't flesh and blood either. And it says here, "But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So Paul tells us that when we are in a spiritual battle, which we will be as long as we live on this earth, that we're not fighting against people, although people may be coming against us. Today, we see that there's great evil going on in our country. And sometimes people will strike out against Christians and against the truth that we proclaim and what we stand for. But we're really not fighting against them alone, but rather the forces that are behind them. And we see that there was a force behind the nation of Persia at the time that Daniel was praying, but this was a demonic force. It's referred to as the Prince of Persia, and the angel was fighting against the demonic or fallen angel as he was attempting to come to Daniel. I don't know how that happens. I don't know exactly how the battles go on. I know that angels are not killed like men are killed in battle. But its scriptures tell us that there's warfare. And we know that angels have power, demons have power, and we see that men can't stand against the demonic in and of themselves. But we're because Satan is smarter than we are, stronger than we are, but he's can no match for Jesus. And just like the heavenly angelic beings, the demons of hell can't stand against them when the Lord is with them. And so we see that this is the battle that was going on at the time of Daniel. Paul tells us the same battle, type of battle goes on today. We war against spiritual forces of darkness in high places. Really, Satan and his demonic hosts are behind much of what we see today in our country. Now, if you look at what is happening, I want to give you the bullet points that Dr. Lifsay gives. I've given some of these in messages before, but he really put it in summary very well, and I think it really helps us to understand. He says, in order to understand where we're at today spiritually in America, we need to go back and see some of the things in our history. History is not taught properly in schools today. They rewrite history. They make it to be different than it is. And much of the Christian influence, well, just about all the Christian influence that is in our nation's history has been removed from the history books today in our public school system. But I want to talk to you about how did the anti-Christian, anti-Christ spirit, the demonic footholds that got gained into our country that caused us to be where we are today, and what do we do about it as Christians? First of all, I just want to talk to you about, just as the nation of Israel was fighting a spiritual battle where demons were preventing them from going back into the land of Israel, and God was answering Daniel's prayer and going to take them back into the land, much the same thing is happening today, as we see that our nation at one time was founded upon biblical Judeo-Christian values and biblical truth. It was in our country. It's never been a time in our history where everyone's been a Christian. But there have been times in the history of our nation where Christian principles ruled our country because they were the foundation of our belief system. There's some things that begin to happen. One of the things that most people don't even know about was an event that happened in 1913 and was reinforced and brought into actuality and being in the 30s. And that is, and happened in 1913, is there were four bankers and two of the wealthiest men in America that got together and they started a new organization, and it was called the Central Bank. And that became the Federal Reserve System. Now, the Federal Reserve System is totally against our Constitution. Our Constitution states that the United States government is to be the ones that control our currency, that control our money. Well, what happened when these four bankers got together, they devised a system by where they would gain control of having the oversight of the currency of America. In the 30s, they were able to institute that, and there's a tape that I have at home, and it's called Jekyll Island. And it talks about the meeting that occurred there, where these individuals and some others got together and they determined how they were going to bring this about in America, and they did. Today, our currency is run by the Federal Reserve System. We no longer have silver and gold backing our currency. It's just money, and it's good faith. And they are the ones that determine For example, you hear the president oftentimes complaining because the Federal Reserve met and they're raising the interest rates by a quarter point or a half point. And he's saying they shouldn't be doing that, or they're lowering it by a quarter point. He says they should be lowering it more. Well, what they are doing is they're determining how much they're going to charge for the usury to other banks, that in turn turns how much they charge in usury to you and how much other usury, how much the interest that our government pays. Well, if you look at what's happened because of this system being put into place, once upon a time America was a nation that was extremely debt-free. People were debt-free. Our nation was debt-free. Today we're a nation of debt. And you stop and think about it, the numbers are so astronomical you can't even I can't comprehend them. How do you comprehend trillions of dollars? It's not billions, but it's trillions. And this is what we're in debt. And who are we in debt to? These bankers, basically, because they run the world currencies. What they've done is they put in place a system where they can take control the whole economy of the world. What does the scripture say that's going to happen in the last days? Satan's going to bring about a system where there'll be a one world government that will control the one world economy, and they'll have to control all the money of the world, or the things that you would use to buy and sell. That's the first thing that happened. About the same time that this happened, World War II came into place, and some things happened during the time of World War II. In World War II, families begin to be broken up for the first time. Women to a large extent, were encouraged to go into the workplace, some of it because they had to, because many of our men were overseas fighting. And women went in and did the jobs of men because they had to do that, to build the munitions, to build the armaments and the equipment that was sent overseas. But when the men came home, the women didn't oftentimes go back into the homes. And it began to be one of the first real attacks on the structure of the family. And if you see, the family today is under a lot of pressure from a couple areas, one being financial pressure. There's many women that would like to stay home and raise their children, but can't stay home and raise their children because both people have to work just to live. And part of that is because of the constant increase of inflation, and who's controlling that? The Federal Reserve, these bankers that got together and determined they were going to be the ones to determine the financial direction of the United States. So that began to happen at the end of World War II. Then we had the 60s come along, and there began to be direct assaults of the spirit of the Antichrist on the belief system of America. I've mentioned times before in the lessons and Bible studies that we've had how that in the late 50s and early 60s, when I was in grade school in the public schools, my teachers would read the Bible and we would pray to begin classes. And I'm sure that if some of you are as old as I am, you remember those days as well. We also had things about the Bible that were taught during the school year. And at Christmas, we would have Christmas carols that centered around the birth of Christ. We would have a play that would deal with the birth of Jesus in the public schools. When resurrection time would come, we would celebrate resurrection, the resurrection of Christ and the events leading up to that in the public schools. Well, in the 60s, some events occurred. There became the sexual revolution in America. Drugs began to be promoted in our culture. And our government began to take away the Christian influence within the schools. You could no longer read the Bible. You could no longer pray. Is this of the spirit of Christ or the Antichrist? If you read the scriptures, you'll see that the Bible tells us that those that are involved in sorcery, and if you look at the foundational words of sorcery, it's pharmakia. It deals with drugs. They will not be entering into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because drugs are used by Satan. And when you're talking about smoking illegal drugs, taking illegal drugs, it's to impact your mind. It's to really unite your spirit with a demonic spirit. much like Eastern mysticism and some of the other demonic religions do. That became a part of our culture. The sexual revolution was a direct attack on the family, the home, the function of man and woman as God intended them to be created and function. God created them as equal, but they had different responsibilities. And they were created to complement one another, not to strive against one another. And these things begin to happen in the 60s. Also, right on the heels of that happening, there was probably one of the most dramatic things that happened in our country, which was really a spiritual assault on America. And that happened in the early 70s when you had Roe versus Wade and abortion was legalized. And all of a sudden, we begin to kill babies by the millions. And it was done in the name of women's health. And again, they took exceptions, the rare exception of a woman who needed to abort her baby to live, or where there was maybe incest, and even there, it's not scriptural, but to kill the baby. But they would take these extreme cases, and they'd build this law upon it, and then all of a sudden it opened up a floodgate and became, I kill my baby for just because I want to continue on in college and don't want to have a child. I want to go into the workplace and don't want to have a child. I want to do this and don't want to have a child. Or I want to just have intimate relationships and don't want to have to worry about bringing babies into the world. And so we see that happened in the 70s. If you look at these things, is that of the spirit of Christ or the Antichrist? Again, it's the spirit of the Antichrist. Look at the anti-Christian and demonic religious systems throughout the history of the world. Death is always a part of them. Drugs are often a part of them. Attacking the structure of the family is often a part of them. And all of this began to happen in America. And this was where we had Judeo-Christian values and a biblical foundation. Where did they come from? Paul says and reveals to us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We were out there fighting against flesh and blood. Now, we need to voice our opinions as Christians and share with people, but we also needed to understand where the real battle was, and that was behind the scenes as Satan began to turn people's hearts against the Lord by opening them up to these demonic activities. Well, what was happening as we come to the year 2000, and in the year 2000, there was an event that was supposed to occur, and some of you here may not be aware that it was supposed to occur. I know my wife and I were, because we'd been reading a number of things about the New Age movement, about the coming world leader who was going to be the Christ, they called him, the Myatira. And he was coming, and he was supposed to come and reveal himself in the year 2000. And that's when you're supposed to have the New World Order, where there would be this New World Order, and the principles of the New World Order are exactly what God said the Antichrist would establish. One world government, one world religion, and one world economy, and be led by this Christ figure. It didn't happen. And there was great depression, if you would, amongst the New Agers because it didn't happen, because they'd planned on 2000 was going to be the year. Well, 16 years later, this event was going to occur again, in that everything had been set in place. If you look at where our nation was morally, we were morally in the dumps. America, the church had become weakened greatly by infiltration of Antichrist spirits into it, and the functioning of the church to be able to stand against the Antichrist spirit because of walking in the truth of God's Word and in the power of His Spirit, covered by the blood of His Son, was things that weren't taught or preached in most churches. At the same time, the occultic influence had grown so great, and Hillary Clinton was nominated to be president, and they basically said that they planned her coronation, if you would, because she was going to win. There was no way she was going to lose. And I remember watching the election results that night, and they had these big parties planned, and all these news media were talking about there was going to be a landslide victory for her, and President Trump didn't have a chance. All of a sudden in 2016, something happened. President Trump won. He wasn't supposed to win. And ever since then, they've been trying to get him out of office. And they said they were going to get him out of office before he took office. They're going to get him out of office within the first year. For the last 3 years, they've been trying to get him out of office. Right now, you're seeing the farce that's going on in the Congress. Is they aren't even following our own Constitution and the things they're doing. They're totally doing an illegal procedures and trying to impeach him and to make him, they're not going to be able to get him out of office, even if they do impeach him, which is basically bring charges against him to take to the Senate for a trial, because right now if there's a trial, at this point in time, it appears there's no way that he would lose. So it's fruitless. But what they're doing is they're trying to impugn his name so that somehow he won't win again in 2020. But what's happened is the spiritual forces of darkness, all of their plans, because of God's intervention, and I believe it is divine intervention, have been thrown in disarray. And the thing is, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. We need to put on the armor of God. And one of the main things that he has for us to put on we have the breastplate of righteousness, we have the sword of the Spirit, but we also have the shield of faith. And the shield of faith is there to ward off all the fiery darts of the enemy. A shield is there to be held up so that the enemy can't strike you and harm you. And faith is what John is talking about. Now, as we look at what is happening here, Dr. Livesay said that there was an interesting thing, and I just share a little bit of what he said, an event that occurred before President Trump won. There was a man by the name of Mark Taylor, who was a retired fire chief, and he began to receive that the Lord was revealing to him that something was going to happen that was going to be different in the election. And he began to pray, and he got some other people that began to pray, and they prayed that that the Lord would bring a man who could stand against the wickedness of our day in which we live. James 5:16 says, "The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." I don't know who Mark Taylor is. You don't know who Mark Taylor is. And most people in America don't know who he is, but God heard his prayers, and he heard the prayers of those that prayed with him. And God raised up Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not, when I first heard Donald Trump, I thought, he is not a very refined person. He really speaks vulgar at times, but yet, Donald Trump, out of all the candidates who would have run against Hillary Clinton, he's the only one that would stand up and say, "I don't care. I'm going to make America great again. I'm going to bring it back to its roots of Judeo-Christian values. I'm going to stand with Israel. I'm going to do everything that God loves, I will do." Now, I don't know when Donald Trump ran if he knew that's what he was doing, but that's exactly what he was doing. And he has stood for Israel stronger than any other president that has ever been elected, including Harry Truman. He has put our embassy in Jerusalem. He has acknowledged that Israel has the right to the Golan Heights. They're in the process now of saying that he may come out in the near future saying Israel has right to control the West Bank, the Judea and Samaria, which that's, they get their name Jew from Judah, and Judea was Judah's inheritance. That is their land. And he's going to, they're saying that he may come out and say that Israel has, that we're supporting Israel, that that is their right to that land. And he's done all of these things. At the same time, he's been the greatest friend of Israel in many other ways. At the same time, he has done more. He's been more pro-life than any other president. He's the first president that actually went to a pro-life rally and spoke at a pro-life meeting of those who were standing against abortion. He spoke out strongly, strongly, strongly against infanticide and late-term abortion. No other president has. A lot of them would say they would, but they never did. But he has. He's done a lot of things like that. And that is why they hate him so much. But the main thing is he's standing against globalism and the one world government. Who's behind the one world government? Spiritual forces, principalities, Satan himself. They're the ones that are putting it together. The scriptures tell us that's what's going to happen in the last days. That is why they hate him so much. Now, what does that leave us with? What are we to do? Well, that's where we come to 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. And I just want to close by looking at these verses quickly because we're just about out of time. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, what is born of God? You and I are born of God. You and I are believers in Jesus Christ. We've been created as new creatures in Christ. We've been given the Spirit of God, and we have been born of God. We're His sons and daughters. We are the ones that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and made to be His children. Well, what does He say? Our position is we're overcomers of the world. We do not have to give in to the wickedness of the world. We don't have to stand and be overcome by the spiritual forces of darkness. Now, does this mean that we're automatically not going to be attacked? Jesus said, no. If you stand with me and for me, you will be come against by the world because they came against me. And if they came against me, they're going to come against you. But the thing we need to remember is we're overcomers. And overcomers in the sense that we do not have to yield to the wickedness of this world. We can stand against it even though it may appear that we aren't winning. Now, there's one hymn that we sing, and the last verse of that hymn talks about the fact that it may appear that the Christians are losing the battle because they're going to the scaffold, but behind the scaffold, God's standing and watching, and His power is still there, and He will use even the martyr scaffold to gain tremendous victory, which He's done throughout the ages. So the first thing that John tells us is that we are overcomers. We're overcomers. Our position is to be the overcomer. We've overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What's the victory that overcometh the world? Well, is it that we have the better organizations than the New Agers? That we have better organizations than the humanists? That we have better organizations than the ungodly? No, it's not the organization that we have. It's our relationship that we possess. And it's based upon the faith that we have in whom? Jesus Christ. Our faith isn't in our strength. Our faith isn't even in our position as being an overcomer of the world. Our overcoming is based upon our faith in Jesus because He is the one who is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, greater than any demon of hell or any ungodly king on this earth. Doesn't matter what their power, position, authority, weapons, anything, He is greater than them. And amazing, and we don't have time to talk about all of the things that God has done. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, it gives us a glimpse out of the heroes of faith from Scripture, but you can see what God has done in preserving His plan, His purpose, His people in this life. And then go back to the book of Daniel and see, I promised I'd bring him back in the 70th year. I'm going to bring him back in the 70th year. Doesn't mean that I've got the king of Persia that's fighting against the archangel that I've sent to speak to Daniel, Gabriel. Doesn't matter about that because Michael will come and help him. He can't stop me. I will have my people fulfill my promise in my time. And likewise with us, Satan can't stop us when God is with us, when we're doing His will and His purpose in His time. And so our faith is in Christ. Our faith isn't in us. Now, what the problem is you have many people today, well-meaning Christians, who put their faith in organization, who put their faith in themselves, who put their faith in their power, who put their faith in oration, who put their faith in politics, and they forget about where their faith needs to be directed, and that's towards Jesus Christ. So he says, we overcome the world, even our faith is what overcometh it. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? Okay, so where is our faith to lie? That's really what he says. You're an overcomer, but you're overcomer by your faith. You have to have an object to your faith. And so then where does your faith come from? And what's your faith in? Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So in other words, we believe in the true Christ. We believe in the true anointed one, not the Antichrist that has come to take the place of Christ. So we walk according to the Spirit of God, and Christ has given us His Spirit to indwell us, that we may walk according to His Spirit, and we may possess His power, because He truly is the Christ, Jesus, the Son of God. Come to take away the sins of the world, come to judge the world and all the wickedness that's in the world. Now, you know, people say, how come these people just get away with lying, bold-faced lies? I was listening a little bit to some of these, quote, experts on the history of our country and experts on our Constitution that we're speaking today that were handpicked by the Democrats that were really just experts on how to be anti-Trump and experts on how to be anti-America as a sovereign nation, and we need to be one worlders. That's what they were experts in. And as they were talking, they were bold-faced lies. And there was one man, there was four on the panel, and there was one man who was actually speaking the truth. And he spoke it, and he said some amazing things, and he said some things that were really, after you heard these other people just lie, they made up things. They'd make up things that would make you think that our current president had done things when he hadn't even done what they did, but they used that as an example of how he was abusing his power. And this man said, this is not what was intended. Our nation was based on the fact that we understood that power was not to be concentrated, but it was rather to be, these things were to be put in place to prevent what's happening here today from happening. And he was really speaking against it. But as you look at that, you go, how could these people get by with this? And they can lie and don't have to tell the truth. Well, I want to tell you something. Someone's watching. And there will be accountability. Now, I don't know. We may see some accountability. I don't know. I don't put a lot of trust in the things of this world. And I know that there's a spiritual battle going on. I know the weakness of the church. I know that we're not praying the way we should be praying. I know that we're not living the way we should be living as God's people. And if we were, it'd probably be a difference. I remember reading the book just to share, and I've shared with you before, Reese Howells, the intercessor during World War II. Reese Howells ran a Bible college in England, and he had his students pray because of different things that were happening in World War II. God laid in his heart, you need to pray that Germany will be defeated in Russia. And it looked like Germany was just going to go in and just run right over Russia. They had more power, they had more men, they had more armaments. Reese Howell and his group began to pray, and all of a sudden, Hitler made some really dumb decisions. Because there were his spirits that he was guiding, listening to these voices that were telling him what to do. His generals told him, yes, just concentrate everything on the Russian front. Pull everything off of the Western front and move it all to the Russian front and we'll overrun Russia. Instead, Hitler took people from the Russian front, put them on the Western front, the exact opposite of what his generals said because these voices told him to do it. At the same time, there became inclement weather and it ended up defeating the German army and they were defeated. But while all of that was going on behind the scenes, Rees Howes was praying. And there, I believe the same things that were happening during the time of Daniel were happening during the time of Rees Howes. There were demonic spirits that were hiding, controlling things, and Hitler was listening to demonic spirits, and those demonic spirits told him the wrong things to do. And I think it was directed by the prayers to God, and God caused things to happen. God hears and answers our prayers. The events of history are going to be finally run out like God says they will be. But the thing is, people need to be saved. And we need to pray that God will do that. And I believe that God has placed President Trump here to give us an opportunity and a window. I don't know how long it's going to be. It may just be till the next election. It could be another 4 years, or it could be that we get another man after him that would hold the same values as him, and it may be a longer time, or it could end after 4 years or 5 years. But we better take advantage of that opportunity, and we better become like Daniel and say, Lord, you've said that this would happen, and Lord, I'm praying and asking for your help. And that people could hear and see and turn and repent and become followers of Jesus before it's too late. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these things and help us to apply these truths to our lives and help us to see that we're victors in Jesus. And that we are more than overcomers in you. Because you are greater than he that is in the world. Speak to us through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.